Well, we are continuing in our sermon series that is looking very deeply and hard at our purpose statement that our leadership team made for us at our leadership retreat back in May. And when we met, we worked together and we came up with this statement that helps us to define and understand who we are to be as a people of God here in the West End at St. Paul United Methodist Church. And the statement that we came up with is that St. Paul is a safe place to be authentic and to experience acceptance, healing, and a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. So last week we talked about what it means to be a safe place and how being a safe place is part of being the people of God. And this week we're moving on to the word authentic, authenticity. And to be a safe place is to offer a place where people can be authentic. They can be who they really are. And that brings us to our scripture story today. And I'm going to give you a little background because it's sort of all part of a larger story that Paul tells through his letters that we have in the scripture. So we know that Paul was the founder of the Corinthian church. He was the apostle to the Corinthians. He came to this town of Corinth and he started the church there. And Paul got the church going, and he served them, and he got it going strong, and he loved them. And then he left to go on his further mission work. And after he left, we learn in 2 Corinthians, in the back half of the letter that we are reading from today, that some other people came behind him, and they began to teach a gospel that was different than what Paul had taught. They still were teaching Jesus Christ, but they were opposing some of Paul's teachings about the gospel. And they were teaching some different things. Among these things, they were teaching that they had some special knowledge that Paul didn't have that was only reserved for the most important, the most blessed of God's people, and that if the Corinthians worked really hard and followed them, that they too could learn the special knowledge. The other thing about these apostles who followed Paul, and Paul calls them the super apostles. I think he calls them that sort of tongue-in-cheek, kind of making fun of them a little bit. He calls them the super apostles, and he calls them that because they look the part. They are well-dressed. They are well-refined. They fit in well with the community of the Corinthians, which was overall a well-off group, especially within the church of the day that really contained a lot of poorer people, right? The church in Jerusalem, we know, was mostly peasants, fishermen, poor people. The churches that Paul had founded in a lot of other places were poor. These folks in Corinthians had some folks with some means, some money. And these super apostles came in and they got right into that. In fact, they began to take money from the Corinthians that were more well off, which brought them right deep into the system of patronage by which the Roman Empire operated. The way that worked is if you were richer and more powerful, you would give money and resources to the people below you in the system, and then they would be beholden to you. You were their patron, and they were your people that were underneath you. And these apostles jumped right into that system. They said, fine, you give us stuff, we'll look good. We'll look the part of your house disciples, your house teachers, and we'll take the money and take the good living. And the other thing is that they appeared to be well-trained in rhetoric, so they were better speakers than Paul as well. So Paul is, let's just say he's pretty upset about this. You read 2 Corinthians from about 9, 10 on to the end, you'll see that he's pretty darn angry at the Corinthian church for going after these super apostles, as he calls them. And he wants to come up against them. He wants to offer his own credentials and his own message up against theirs and show the Corinthians why they are being led astray by these super apostles. But that it's pretty foreign for Paul to do that. He doesn't like to brag about his ministry and brag about who God has made him to be. But he feels like he has to do that up against these super apostles to kind of teach the Corinthians a lesson. So he begins to brag. But his bragging, his sort of offering up of his credentials as an apostle, very different than the kind of game these super apostles would play. See, he doesn't talk about how great he is and how many special knowledge he's got and the victories that he has won. He takes all the coolness out of the game. He takes all the air out of the ball. Instead of talking about victory in Jesus, he says he was beaten, shipwrecked, hungry, cold, and naked. That is his credentials as an apostle. Instead of defeating the powers of the world, he says he escaped capture from a king by retreating shamefully out of the wall and escaping in the night. Oh, and he talks about special revelation that he has received from God. But instead of providing it as special knowledge that others should want to gain, should follow him, he says, no, this was actually just for me. It's words that no man else could hear or understand, and I'm not going to tell you about it, except for to say that it was special, it was nice, but it was just for me. And then he goes on even further to say that rather than lifting him up to be sort of equal in these riches with the Corinthians, God has given him a thorn in his side to keep him humble, to keep him from feeling too proud about all his accomplishments, all the great things that he has done in the Lord. That brings us to our scripture today in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Paul writes, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Paul steadfastly refuses to be someone that he is not. He doesn't put himself into the game of these super apostles to try to fit in and compete with them in their game that they're playing. Paul presents his authentic self to the Corinthians. And that includes, and especially, he says, includes the weaknesses. Now, this is a model for us as a church. A model to remove ourselves from the games that the world wants to play and be our real selves and create this environment where people can be authentically themselves, weaknesses and all. Now, for Paul in his day, as I said, this was a challenge to the whole system of the society. Their system of patronage demanded that he should fit in, that he should take their money and he should look the part and sound the part and be like these super apostles. But Paul demands that he will not take their money. He will live as a tent maker and a worker in Jesus as he is. Not very different for us today in a world that wants to tell us everything about how to live, In a world that wants to tell us how we should dress, how we should look, what we should eat, where we should go to church, whether or not we should go to church, what we should be following and tuned into, what we should be ignoring. This world wants us to be the same, to fit in. So Brené Brown writes, "It is audacity to be authentic in today's world. It is the audacity of authenticity that makes us different in the church, a place where people can be truly who God has made them to be. When you do that, when you are authentic, when you do expose your weaknesses, then you are vulnerable. You make yourself vulnerable to criticism. Criticism from others, and criticism that can actually hurt because it's criticism of who you actually are." And as Brené Brown writes, "In today's world, cruelty is cheap, easy, and rampant. It is a real challenge to be authentic in today's world, and that is why we here at St. Paul have a special calling among God's people to be a safe place that focuses, as we talked about last week, on God, on the good creation God made us to be in our salvation in Jesus Christ, and is able to look at each person for the goodness that God has created them to be. And when we see the weakness, to see God at work there." I hope you followed a little of what I did with the kids here with the puzzle. We used a pretty easy puzzle for them, but I like at my mother-in-law's house, she has a puzzle that has unique pieces. So not only do the pieces have different pictures on them, but each one is shaped a different way. So they're not the usual sort of interlocking. They fit together in all these different special ways, and each piece you learn to appreciate the unique shape of each piece. Pieces are made to fit together. They're made for each other. Everyone's unique gifts are needed. The church is a place where we are made to fit together, made for each other, made to appreciate each unique piece that comes together, and allow ourselves to be ourselves. Now, a lot of times being authentic is just sort of presented as a thing that you sort of do or don't do, or even a thing that you are or are not. You're either fake or you're authentic. The truth is, authenticity is a spectrum like most things, and authenticity is a work and a means of grace. It's something that we can do, a daily practice to live out our lives authentically. One of the first calls to that practice is the daily letting go of who we think we're supposed to be and embracing who we are. I think Leonard Cohen says this very well in his song Anthem. "Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. That's how God gets in." That's what Paul is telling us. When we embrace who we are, cracks and all, flaws and all, we then allow our weaknesses to be shown. And there it is that God's grace can work. There it is that God's love can help us believe that our authentic self is lovable. There it is that God's grace can help us begin to battle against shame that tells us we are not worthy. Battle against that perfectionism, and the light comes in. And ultimately, the reason that we do this as a church is for that very reason, because when we let the light into our lives, well, it begins to shine out to others. Because as authentic people who are weak, Paul says, there God's strength can be revealed. People who live authentically allow God's grace to be visible in their lives by forgiving themselves, by loving themselves. See, perfect people don't need grace. It's in this paradox that we are called to live, that God's grace is sufficient and God's power is made perfect in weakness. So we're called this morning, the call of Jesus Christ is to daily practice loving yourself, your true self, your real self, the self that God created you to be, in the self that Jesus Christ is at work in you, especially in those places of weakness and brokenness. And if we all together can do that, we form a place, a community, where people can find true love of God in Jesus Christ. Because they can love themselves. And when they can love themselves, then they can love others. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.